of the topic for tonight. We're still on mitzvah base. Okay, great. We're up to Hatafas Dam Bris, which is not as simple as it might at first seem. We're going to be weaving in and out of the Minchas Chinuch here on the topic. The Minchas Chinuch notes on Hatafas Dam appear in a couple of different places within his overall comments. He has one section, Hatafas Dam Bris, that appears in Oz Yud Gimel. If you're using that edition, it's page Yud Halach, I believe. So he has a little bit called Hatafas Dam Bris, then he has a couple of Aral, and then later on, he has a further discussion about Hatafa and what happens with Shabbos. So it's sort of in and out within his comments. But we have to start the discussion with the Gemara in Shabbos, and frankly, this discussion may well take us 2 weeks to work our way through. I don't know. The discussion begins definitely with this Gemara in Shabbos. Take a look at source Aleph, please. I think that table was supposed to be the ill table. Right? That was the idea.
Is that the ill table?
The ill table. I don't know. Okay. The quarantine table.
It must be this one.
So actually, you know, before we go into the ins and outs of Hatafas Dam, let me make sure that it's actually clear what Hatafas Dam is. Hatafa from the word tipa, to draw out a drop. The idea is that in certain circumstances, bris mila itself is not possible. But we may recommend a ritual called Hatafas Dam in which you draw a drop of blood. I was involved with a re-gerus case. Or halachically, we would just call it a gerus case. It was a family that had, the mother had converted conservative before she had her children. And then they decided that they wanted a halachic gerus. So, yeah, the kids already had the Arlakat. There had been a bris, you know, when they were 8 days old. So we did a Hatafas Dam, and it's fairly straightforward. I mean, they use a spring-loaded, and draw out a drop of blood, and that's the whole thing. Certainly more mentally traumatic, emotionally traumatic than it is physically traumatic. Says the one who never had to endure it. But anyway, but that's the idea. And the discussion that you have regarding Hatafas Dam is, do we do it for a child who is born apparently without an Arla? I had a discussion with a Moel who opted not to be identified by name, but who told me about a case he was involved with. He said, you shouldn't just think this is a hypothetical thing that the Gemara is mentioning. But it happens. You know, kids are born without any apparent orla at all. Without a call, I think, is the phrase that they use. C-A-U-L. That's one case. Another case would be if you had somebody who came to convert who had already had a medical circumcision. Another case would be where the bris mila itself was done improperly. So you now need
to
you didn't do it on the right day. I mean, that's I think relatively unusual. The Gemara gives the fun case, the case of the kids who there's Shabbos. One kid who's supposed to have it on Shabbos, another kid supposed to have it on Sunday, and you did the wrong one on the wrong day.
No, but you happen to have people that have made it on the wrong day.
Yeah,
they don't know better, and people have doctors like small communities. That's good enough. We'll do it today.
Got it. Interesting. Okay. I thought that was one of the better known practices, that is day 8. All right. I've known people who have thought they could do it later. I didn't know of anybody who thought that they could do it earlier. They thought it was like pigeon at bed, where you have a starting day and then you can do it in the future. In any case, Hatafas Dam, what exactly is this, and what's the nature of the requirement? Would I do it on Shabbos for a child? Let's say they did it early, or let's say there was a kid who did not appear to have an Orla, and now we do a Hatafas Dam, so would we do that, in fact, on Shabbos? It comes up with that, that question emerges as well. And the goal of this conversation is, number one, to get a better understanding of what Hatafas Dam is in terms of the Gemaras that discuss it, and number two, to get a better understanding, ultimately, about whether Hatafas Dam is Bris Mila. Do we view this like an act of bris mila? Or do we say that Hatafas Dam is simply a makeup ceremony? Something to do where you can't do a bris. How do I look at it? And we'll see there are halachic ramifications for that distinction. But again, we start with source Aleph. The Gemara in Shabbos takes us from Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis to Kuf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan, after the quote from the Mishnah of Savik Vandroganus. Here's a brisa. The Torah says, Orla so, his Orla, Orla so vadai doches ha-shavis. That's from the Pasuk, Vayom ha-shmini, mol besar Orla so. That on the eighth day, you shall give the kid a bris, remove the Orla. So the Gemara says, Orla so vadai doches ha-shavis. If you know for sure it's an Orla, then the Mila overrides Shabbos. Velo safek doches ha-shavis. But if you're not sure, that doesn't override Shabbos. Orla so vadai doches ha-shavis. Velo androgynous doches ha-shavis. You only override Shabbos for someone who definitely needs a bris mila, and he needs the Orla cut, as opposed to androgynous we've discussed on other occasions. The androgynous is somebody who displays the signs of both men and women. Rav Yehuda Omer, androgynous doches ha-shavis va'onush kares. Rav Yehuda says, you better believe it overrides Shabbos. You don't do a bris mila on an androgynous, you get kares for it. So there. The Orla so vadai doches ha-shavis lo nola ben ha-shmashos doches ha-shavis. When we say it's only for a definite Orla that you override Shabbos, that doesn't just mean that the Orla has to be a bona fide Orla, but it also means you have to know that it's supposed to be Shabbos. As opposed to if the kid is born ben ha-shmashos, he's born at that weird period around sunset, you're not really sure, is this Friday or is it Shabbos? Or is it Shabbos or is it Sunday? So then you don't override Shabbos, you simply wait till after Shabbos. Orla so vadai doches ha-shavis v'lo nolad kishu mol doches ha-shavis. Also, the definite Orla overrides Shabbos, but not a kid who was born already nimol, a kid who was born without an Orla. And now the Gemara needs to discuss what that rule, that if the kid is born without an Orla, you wouldn't do anything on Shabbos. Shebeis Shammai omrim tzarech lahadlif mimenu dambris. Beis Shammai says, you have to do hatafas dam. Ubeis Hillel omrim eino tzarech. And Beis Hillel says, no, you don't. Not only do you not need to do it on Shabbos, but you don't do it at all. Rashi on the Gemara comments that Beis Shammai's position is that you do it, but not on Shabbos. Beis Shammai's view is that we think that that you require a hatafas dam because of a concern that that maybe there's an Orla that we call an Orla Kavusha, a pressed-in Orla. It's there, but you're not able to differentiate it from the surrounding skin. So Beis Shammai says, I don't know, maybe you really do need a bris. I don't know what to do. So because we're in doubt, you'll do Atavas Dam, but don't do it on Shabbos, because maybe there really is no Orla. So in other words, let me make it a little more clear. Beis Shammai says, if you knew for sure that there was no Orla here at all, if you had some way to know there's no Orla, you wouldn't do Atavas Dam at all. I'd agree with you, Beis Hillel. But I'm not really sure that that's the case. Maybe there's something there, and you're just having trouble differentiating it from everything else. So therefore, do Atavas Dam, but since it's only a suffake, don't do it on Shabbos. That same Mohel told me about a story in which they had a kid who appeared to be Noled Mohel, and they didn't do a bris, they did Atavas Dam, and several years later, the parent came back and said, you know, the kids developed an Orla. And they had to do a bris. They did it without a bracha, but they did a bris. Does that mean it was there from the start? I don't know. I'm certainly no expert. But that's why Beis Shammai stakes this position. So Beis Shammai says, maybe there's an Orla there, so do Hatafa, but not on Shabbos. Beis Hillel says, you don't do anything. There's nothing to do. The kid had his bris already. You just didn't need to pay him all. Sorry. There's nothing to do at this point. That's Beis Hillel's position. According to the Tanakhama, the Tanakhama is the one who brings in Beis Shammai versus Beis Hillel. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that's not the machlokas. He says, Lo nechleku Beis Shammai u'Beis Hillel, al nola kishuhu mahu, shetzerich lahatev imenu dam bris, mipnei sha'arla kavushahi. He says, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that you do need to do hatafas dam for a nolad mohel, for the kid who's born with a bris. Everybody agrees that you need to do that. However, aman echleku, where was their debate? Al gershinis gayer kishuhu mahu. If you have somebody convert to Judaism, and he already had a medical circumcision, Shebeis Shammai omrim tzarech lahatif menu dam bris. Beis Shammai says, do the hatafa. Ubeis Hillel omrim ein tzarech lahatif menu dam bris. And Beis Hillel says, there's no need. Now, there's a case where you know for sure there is no Orla. Right? It was cut already. There's no doubt about that. So the only question is, do I do an added ceremony just for fun, so to speak? So, in order to make sure we have these opinions down, The Tanakhama says that when it comes to Nolad Mahul, the person who is born with a bris, Beis Shammai says, do it out of doubt. Beis Hillel says, don't do it at all. And he doesn't discuss at all the case of the ger. That isn't even an issue. No one is saying to do it for a ger. That's all the first explanation of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Ger, don't do it. Nolad Mahul, machlokas. That's first. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says no. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, the ger is the machlokas, nolad mahul, everybody says to do it. So he's bumping each side up one stage. He's taking the ger from nobody saying to do it to a machlokas, and he's taking the nolad mahul from a machlokas to saying everybody says go ahead and do it.
According to the Tanakhama, though, if it's really kibusha,
yes,
the only reason you're doing that tapas dam bris is because there might be an orla there. You still haven't removed the orla. What have you accomplished with that tapas?
Correct. You have not removed the orla. You have not done priya because those seem to be physically impossible.
So what is that?
But there is
a accomplished?
Right, because there is an idea that drawing out dam, that there should be dam bris itself. Mm-hmm. Like the pasuk, hinei dam habris asher kras Hashem imachem. Right. So they, by our Sinai, there's the idea that there is a level involved in just drawing the blood of the bris. Right, all the fights over the different ways of doing bris milah without drawing blood come out over this issue. So the Gemara continues now to discuss how we paskin. Itmar, we learned. Rav Amar Halacha Katanakama. Rav says you follow the Tanakama, the first view, and then of course within the Tanakama you follow Beis Hillel, meaning that for the Nolad Mahul you don't do Atavas Dam, not Shabbos, not weekday, it doesn't matter. Ushmuel Amar Halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and Shmuel says no, the law follows Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that everybody will agree for a Nolad Mahul you absolutely do Atavas Dam. And then we get a story, it's a scary story. Ravad Bar Abba is Yalidi Layahu Yanuka Kishum Mahul. Rav Ada Bar Abba had a kid born who apparently had a bris already. The Ahadri Atleser Mahuloi, he brought him to 13 different Moalim, all of whom, Rashi explains, refused to do the bris. They all said, what are you doing? Well, there's nothing to do. There's no bris, there's no atafa. Adeshami Akushafcha, so he decided he's going to do it himself, because he's very frum, and he's going to take care of it himself. And lo and behold, he ruined the kid. The Amar, and he said, Tesi li da avriya da Rav. He said, I got what I deserved because I violated Rav's view. Rav said it's not necessary. That's all well and good for him to say, Tesi li, how about the kid? The kid he doesn't address. Amar le Rav Nachman v'adishmua lo avar. So Rav Nachman says, what do you mean you violated Rav? You violated Shmuel also. Because the story, the Gemara didn't say so explicitly, was on Shabbos. So you violated Shmuel too. Shmuel didn't say do it on Shabbos. Amar da Amri Damar Shmuel Bechol. Sure, Shmuel says do it on the weekday, but Shabbos mi Amar, did he say do it on Shabbos? You didn't follow Rav, you didn't follow Shmuel either. To which, who's Savar? The answer is, yeah, but Rav Ada Bar Abba thought, Vaday Orla Kavusha. He thought we say it's definitely Orla Kavusha. And if it's definitely Orla Kavusha, then you would do it even on Shabbos. The Amar, as we learned, Rabba Omar Chayshin and Shema Orla Kavusha. He Rabba said it's a concern. Maybe this is Orla Kavusha. Rabbi Yosef Omar Vaday Orla Kavusha. And Rabbi Yosef, no, for sure it is. There really is an Orla there, and it's just pressed into the skin. And the Gemara then goes into how they know, how Rabbi Yosef and Rabba know their views. We're going to come back to that, God willing. So Rav follows the view of the Tanakhama. Rav Ada Bar Ahava's story sounds like it supports Rav as well. And so at this stage, I would say, okay, so don't do Atafas Dam for a Nolad Mahul. Right? That's what I would say at this point. Even Shmuel would say, do it, but not on Shabbos. And Rav would say, don't do it at all. And certainly not for a ger. One clear so far on what we have? Good so far? Okay. Two more Gemaras we need to know. Swords Beis. The story of the kid who had an early bris, right? Torchiner said, how likely is that? Shabbos Kuflamet Zayin says, well, we got a case. Tani Rabbi Chia taught, Omer Haya Rabbi Meir said, Lo Nachliku Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yeshua, Al Mishayu Lo Shnei Tinokos Echad Lamol Be'er Shabbos Vechad Lamol Be'Shabbos. Everybody agrees that if there are two kids, one is supposed to have a bris on Friday. I need my whiteboard. That's how you my whiteboard from Allentown. I can just write everything out, because that way that makes this a lot clearer. He had two kids, one to give a bris on Friday, and one to give a bris on Shabbos. Oops, you did the Friday one on Shabbos. Well, Shuchayev, guess what? You're liable, right? Because you weren't supposed to do it on Shabbos. Once you miss day 8, you don't do it on Shabbos. And everybody agrees. Where is there a debate? If you had two kids to give a bris, one was supposed to be for Shabbos, one was supposed to be for Sunday. He did the Sunday bris on Shabbos. That's the question. Rabbi Eliezer says you have to bring a chatas. You did the bris inappropriately. It was Sunday's bris. You didn't do a bris. You just cut the kid on Shabbos. That's all you accomplished. Rabbi Yeshua said you don't bring a chatas for it. To which the Gemara says, wait. Hashta Rabbi Yeshua saved the low covenant mitzvah poter. Reisha the covenant mitzvah mechayev. He says, I don't understand. In the case where you did the Sunday bris on Shabbos, you didn't do a mitzvah. Right? You missed the mitzvah opportunity. And he's telling me you still don't bring a chatos. So then if I did the Friday one on Shabbos, granted I wasn't supposed to, but I did a mitzvah. Right? I did a bris milah. If I do the Sunday one on Shabbos, number one, I wasn't supposed to do it today, and number two, it wasn't a bris milah. And there I don't bring a carbon chatos.
Point being that the Chil
Hashira. Right.
The Chil Shabbos, even if it's Chil Shabbos, you weren't supposed to rest. If you accomplish the rest all the same, you don't bring a chatas, is what you're saying, right?
Which one is Kullin? Which one is more Chamor?
But logically, where you actually did accomplish the mitzvah, then there's all the more reason to say that you shouldn't have to bring a chatas.
Right.
And what his reasoning is actually a separate point entirely. What his reasoning is for saying Potter, but it's all stronger. It's stronger when you actually accomplished the mitzvah of Bris Milah. The Yeshiva Rabbi Yana, they explained Reisha Gagon Shekadam Umol Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos Tzlo Nitna Shabbos Lidachos. He says, you know why? The first case that you had where you did the Friday kid on Shabbos, that's talking about where you did the Shabbos kid on Friday. Okay?
Other than the fact that he didn't do a milah, what did he do wrong?
Right, so he wasn't supposed to do the Shabbos kid on Friday, but the result is that he walks into Shabbos without a bris to do.
So you can't say he's tired of a mitzvah, but he wasn't.
He wasn't in pursuit of a mitzvah at all. He had no bris left to do on Shabbos. It's not as though he had a kid who he was supposed to give a bris to. He had nothing. Because he took care of the Shabbos bris already on Friday, which he wasn't supposed to do. But now there's nothing, there's no justification whatsoever for what he was doing. That's the statement. Whereas Seifa, in the end case was the one in which you had a Shabbos kid and a Sunday kid. So when he walks into Shabbos, he is supposed to do a bris on Shabbos. It's just the bris on the other kid. So Nitna Shabbos Lidachos. Shabbos is given it's set up for being overridden. Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana, to which Rav Ashi says to Rav Kahana, Reishanami Nitna Shabbos Lidachos L'Gabi Tinokas De'Alma. He says, what, you think there's only two kids in the world? What are you talking about? Sure, you're right. His two kids in front of him, one of them was supposed to be Friday, and the other one that was supposed to be Shabbos is already done. Right? Fine. However, there is some kid out there for whom Shabbos is relevant. To which he answers, yeah, but Lahai Gavra Mi'alo Isyehiv. For this kid, it's not yet, for this person, I should say, for the bris that he has on his hands, nothing is available. That Gemara is going to be very important, this Gemara. We're going to come back to this one as well. And one more Gemara before we get into this in depth. The short piece in Yevamos. What happens if somebody comes to the local Beis Din and says, I was in the middle of a conversion process, and never finished it, but I had my bris milah already. You can inspect, there's no arla. I'm now up to immersing and accepting the mitzvot in front of the Beis Din. So is there any reason that they can't complete the gear? Hare shabava amar malti velo tavalti, the Gemara says, source Kimmel. Guy comes and says, I had a bris already, I just haven't gone to mikvah. Matbilan also mabakachtiva Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, so no, dunk him. Right? What do you lose? No big deal. Either he had the bris with a Beis Din doing it, l'shem gior and everything else, in which case there's nothing wrong. Or he didn't, and Rabbi just says, I don't care. It doesn't make a difference. The idea is not you have to have a bris milah for the sake of conversion, Rabbi Yehuda says. The idea is that you can't have an arla. One way or another, he doesn't have an arla. That's all. Rabbi Yossi Omer in Matbilin, Rabbi Yossi says, nothing doing. You require something be done, for the sake of conversion. Okay, those are the three sources. Now let's turn this into a shir. And we do it by turning to the Rambam. Even though in the Gemara, the first Gemara that we saw, source Aleph, we saw that Rav followed the Tanakhama, according to whom Beis Hillel will say, don't do Hatafa for a Nolad Mahu. And even though Rav Adav or Ahava belatedly came to the same realization, nonetheless, the Rambam doesn't follow the Tanakhama. Take a look at sources Dalet and Hay. Source Dalet. Ger she'nichnas l'kahal Yisrael chayav mila t'chila, the Rambam writes, Hilchos Mila Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin. A ger comes to convert, first you have to do a bris. V'imol k'shaya akum, if he had a bris already when he wasn't Jewish, okay, tzarech latif menu dam bris v'yom she'yizgayir, so du'a tafas dam, says the Rambam. So far, so good. V'chein katan shenola k'shu mohol, and also a kid who is born with a bris, tzarech latif menu dam bris v'yom hashmini, you have to do hatafas dam on a day 8. I brought you the rest of the line, but it's irrelevant for our purposes, but jump now to source hey. Where he says, Katan Shinola Kishu Mahul, it's a little further along in the first parak in Hilchos Mila, the kid who was born with a bris, as well as Mishinola Bachodesh Hashmini Lahavuro Kodim Shatli Buro Kodim Shatigamer Briyasu Shukanefo Mudeshino Chai, as well as a kid who was born underdeveloped, and the concern is that he's not actually considered to be viable, Vyodze Dauphin, Vandrogonis, Sumishiation Shte Orlos, a few other cases we're not going to go into now, Ein Dochen Es Hashamas. None of these override Shabbos. So the Rambam says you do hatafa for the nolad mahul, but not on Shabbos. That's the position of the Rambam. Who is he then following? Well, if he agrees with the Tanakhama, then he's following Beis Shammai. I can tell you as a flat rule, the Rambam doesn't paskin like Beis Shammai. So what it must mean is the other option, which is that he's following the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar against the Tanakhama. He's taking the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that everybody agrees that you do a hatafas dam, but not on Shabbos. How in the world does the Rambam do this? How does the Rambam override Rav? We know the rule, right? Halacha k'Rav v'Isuri halacha k'Shmuel b'Mamoni. We follow Shmuel on financial matters. Shmuel is known as Shabur Malka, the Persian prince, because on all financial matters, his word is law. But when you're dealing with Isur v'Heter, issues of straightforward mitzvos, the law follows Rav. So what in the world is the Rambam doing disagreeing with Rav? That's a no-no. We shouldn't be able to do that. So Hagos Mamonios, commenting on the Rambam, provides support for the Rambam's psak. He quotes Rav Haigon, the Ri, Rabbeinu Hanano, and the Rif, and Rabbeinu Simcha, a formidable lineup of early Rishonim, all of whom agree with the Rambam that we require Hatafa for the Nolan Mohol, just not on Shabbos. But we follow Rav. Yeah, but that's not what Rav was doing here. Rav wasn't staking out his own position here. Rav was speaking about a machlokes tanoim. There was a debate between the Tanakhama and Rishon ben Elazar, and Rav said the law follows the Tanakhama. When we say the law follows Rav on Isuri, that's where Rav says something and Shmuel says something. Here, it's not a debate, Rav and Shmuel, it's an earlier debate. And they're just saying, I follow so-and-so. That's his suggestion for how the Rambam goes against Rav. The Rif cements that based on a continuation in the Gemara, where you had Rabba versus Rav Yosef. Right? As the Gemara continued, we saw Rabba versus Rav Yosef, and Rabba made the statement that maybe it's an Orla Kavusha, right? And therefore it won't override Shabbos. And Rav Yosef said it's Vada or La Kavusha. It definitely overrides Shabbos. So it's Rabba versus Rav Yosef. Rabba is the later of the two. And the rule is Helchasa Kibasroi. You follow the later Posek. We are not used to thinking that way. We always say, well, if you're earlier, that must mean that you have a better Hechsher. However, within a door, within a generation, you follow the later one, assuming that he had access to all the information that the earlier one had. That's the principle. Rabba is slightly later than Rav Yosef. Remember the line. Rabba and Rav Yosef are colleagues. They're the Rebbeim of Abaye, who is the Rebbe of Rava. Right? Rabbi Yosef, of course, remember, was the senior, though. He was the one who at one point forgot his learning, and the Abaye reminded him of it. Rabba is the junior partner in the relationship, and the Rif says, that the Rambam is able to follow the position of Shmuel against Rav because it matches Rabbah. And Rabbah is the later of the two. The Kesef Mishnah points out that really both Rabbah and Rav Yosef work as far as requiring Hatafa. It's just as far as Chilul Shabbos. That's where the question comes in. It's a very interesting point, this position of Rav following the Tanna Kamma. Following the Shmuel's view against Rav. There's a further note on this. I want to follow it just a little bit longer because it provides for some very interesting material. In terms of something the Kesef Mishnah says, if you take a look at source Vav, you find a position of the Rush. The Rush was also very surprised that the law would not follow Rav. He says, "Utmihani al Rav Alfas Zal." He says, "I am shocked." Shocked, I say, at the position of the Rif, Shekasav da Alacha Kerabba Shubasra, that he said the law follows Rabba, who is later, Ubishar Duchti Kasav, whereas in other places the Rif wrote, Deme Abaye Verava Ve'elech, that from the time of Abaye and Rabba onward, Kaimolan Dehelchasa Kibasra, that's when we say the law follows the later authority. From Abaye and Rava and later. Avokodam Lachem, but in earlier times, Kaimolan Kirab, Legabe a Talmud. When you have a Rebbe and a Talmud, you go with the Rebbe. Vilunechlaku Rabba for Rabbi Yosef, or Rabbi Yehuda, Ayalach Rabbi Yehuda. So for example, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef both study under Rabbi Yehuda. So if they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, the law would follow Rabbi Yehuda. The Yeshaya Rabba Sharab of Rav Yosef, he was the Rebbe. Koshken Shalacha Kirav, Rabbo Sharab Yehuda, connected Rabba of Rav Yosef. So he says, look, the line of Masara is Rav, Rav Yehuda, Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef and Rabba. So, he says, the Rif himself has authored a view that pre Abaye Varava, the rule is you follow the Rebbe. So I should follow Rav, versus the Talmidim of his Talmidim. Rav and Rav Yosef.
They're not holik on Rav. They're taking a shita that Shmuel is. They're elucidating a shita of Shmuel.
They are elucidating a shita of Shmuel.
Shmuel yes. Tells you you're passing like Rav Shimon.
But by definition, that's a disagreement with Rav. And you can't get around that. The Kesef Mishnah offers two answers. The first is particularly fascinating. This is what he says. He says, when a Talmud disagrees during his Rebbe's life, I'll give you a second answer first, because I really like the first answer. His second answer is that since Shmuel disagreed with Rav when Rav was around, it's not Rebbe versus Talmud. Instead, it's an ongoing machlokas. We put everybody in the same sort of for the Venn diagram with the sets, right? You put everybody in there. And it's Rav as an individual against the Rabbim of Shmuel, Rav, or Rav Yosef. It's an ongoing debate, and Rav is only one piece in it, and it's really individual against the greater number. That's one view. But his first answer, I like, really, it's very interesting. He says, when a Talmud disagrees during his Rebbe's lifetime, the Rebbe, we assume, heard the argument, took it into consideration, and disagreed. So that's when we'll follow the Rebbe, as the Rif recommended. However, here, their disagreement was after the time of the Rebbe of Rav. Rav is gone by the time Rav and Rabbi Yosef appear on the scene. And so therefore, we assume that they had some new argument to present that Rav had never been exposed to. Granted, Rav heard the disagreement from Shmuel, but they brought something new to the table. What is the new thing they brought to the table? The last piece of that Gemara in Source Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, "Minam min Allah, what's my basis for what I say?" Desanya the following brisa. Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar Omer Lo Nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Al Noah Kishu Mol Shetarach Lahatek Menu Dam Bris. Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar says, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel do not disagree regarding a kid who's born with a bris. They both agree you have to do Atavaz Dam. Ama Nechleku, where's their debate? L'chalal Olaves HaShabbos, just regarding Shabbos. Beis Shammai or Mechal on Olaves HaShabbos, Beis Hillel or Ein Mechal on Olaves HaShabbos. Beis Shammai says do it, Beis Hillel says don't do it. So Rabbi Yosef quotes the Braisa that says, the Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar says, everybody agrees you do Atavaz Dam, the only debate is whether to do it on Shabbos or not. Got it? Does that mean the Tanakh? I don't even need to go through the last bit. The point is that they brought in this Brisa with Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar. which Rav doesn't know about. So that's why there's new evidence here. They bring in something new that no one else has ever seen. And that's why their words are going to carry greater weight. This is a huge, huge issue. And nowadays, it's a major issue in Pesach, because there are very few people around who actually follow one shita down the line. I follow every practice of the Vilna Gaon, or I follow every practice of, you name it, Ashkenazim, Sephardim, Hasidim, it doesn't make a difference. It's very rare that people follow one shita down the line, and it's problematic. It always bothered me. You're not supposed to go to this one for this kula and this one for this kula, or even go to this one for this chumra and this one for this chumra. That's not how you're supposed to do either. So what are we doing when we jump and we say, for this one I follow this and for that one I follow that? But here we find the beginnings within this discussion in the Kesef Mishnah. We find the beginnings of an approach where you talk about, well, it depends. Do you have machlokas with somebody else? Does he have access to all the information? It could be that some are more expert on some issues. It could be that this one is one to rely on here because he introduced his argument and the other one never heard that argument. Yeah, it's not so clear cut. The rules don't work so in such a straightforward manner. But going back to where we started here to make sure that we're clear on what we have so far. We have the Gemara in Shabbos, which presents us with a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Regarding what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel believe. The Tanakhama's position is that if the kid is born with a bris, it's a machlokas Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says do it during the week. Beis Hillel says don't do atafa at all. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says everybody agrees it's required that you do it. And the Rambam's position, like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, is to say that you do atafas dam, however not on Shabbos. That's what emerges from all this. If you didn't get the whole back and forth about who we paskin like or whatever, at least know that piece of it. Because our Gemara that we just saw, Shabbos Kuf Lamed Hei, source Aleph, should support the view that a ger does not require hatafas dam. It really should support that view. Should support the view that a ger does not require hatafas dam. This is an argument presented by Tosfos on that Gemara. It's Source Zion. It's a little long. I brought it on the sheet because I wanted you to be able to have a chance to look at it in advance. I'm not going to go through the whole thing now in the shiur itself. But Tosfos points out that Reb Shimon ben Elazar seems to prove that a nolad mahul is more likely to need a hatafa than a ger. Because, remember the hierarchy. The Tanakhama said that when it comes to Nolad Mahul, there's a machlokas. When it comes to a ger, he doesn't even discuss the issue. Machlokas on Nolad Mahul, everybody out on ger. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar comes along and says, Nolad Mahul, everybody says it's required. Ger is a machlokas. Right? So in other words, let me see if I can state this a little more clearly. It seems obvious that there's greater likelihood that a nolad mahul will require hatafas dam than that a ger will. Because either your view is, we require it for nolad mahul, there's a machlokas for a ger, or there's a machlokas for a nolad mahul and nobody requires it for a ger. But ger is always one step down from nolad mahul. Right? Ger is always one step reduced from the nolad mahul case. And logically, it would be because the Nolad Mahul, maybe you'll argue, has an Arla there that we're just not seeing. But the Ger had a bris. We know there was an Arla, and the Arla's gone. So therefore, there's less likelihood that I'm going to require Atapas Dam for him than for somebody who may actually need a bris mila. This Nolad Mahul person. Well, if so, Tosfo says, if so, then given that that Rav wants to follow the Tanakhama, that the Nolad Mahul does not need it, then a ger for sure doesn't need it. Right? The logical extension of saying that Nolad Mahul is one step down from, I'm sorry, that ger is one step down from Nolad Mahul, is that if Nolad Mahul doesn't need it, then ger for sure doesn't need it. Got it? That's a logical extension, and now we spring the trap. Because go back to Yevamos again. That little one-liner there. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says, if the guy comes to you and says, I already had my bris for my gerus, I just need to go to mikvah and accept mitzvos, Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, dunk him. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you don't. Tell me something. If you don't require hatafas dam, then why in the world wouldn't you dunk him? Right? It must be that the position of Rabbi Yossi, the magic Rabbi Yossi, who always wins, because the Gemara says, Nimuko Imo, his logic is always with him. You don't mess with Rabbi Yossi. It must be that Rabbi Yossi believes you require Atafas Dam for the Ger. Right? It doesn't make any sense otherwise. Rabbi Yossi must believe that you require Atafas Dam for a Ger. Well, if Rabbi Yossi is going to say you require Atafas Dam for a Ger, then certainly, based on our hierarchy, you require it for a Nolad Mohel. So now, Tosfos points out, I have a potential conflict. Yevamos tells me, Rabbi Yossi says, do it for a ger. Then for sure you should do it for a nolad mo. But we just showed, back in our Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Hey, the same place that brought us the hierarchy in the first place, that Rav says you follow the Tanakhama, that the nolad mohel doesn't need it. On the way, Rav is telling me the Nolad Mohel doesn't need it. But Yevamos is screaming, of course he needs it, because the Ger needs it. If the Ger needs it, and he doesn't have an Arlush, for sure the Nolad Mohel needs it. Who may well have an Arlush? Yeah.
That's assuming, we assume that there's two steps to the Geras. The Bris and the Tevilah.
Well, Tevilah goes along with Kabbalah's Mitzvahs, because you do it when he's in the Mikvah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Three steps.
Yeah.
So when Rabbi Yossi says a matbilin, it's not assumed that he's assuming that nothing has been done, and therefore you don't jump the order and do the bris again and then you do the tefillah again.
Correct. We're gonna have to do a hatafa. We're not just putting him in the water. That's correct.
Even though there was obviously
a bris at some point.
What was done, he won't say do a tefillah and then do a tapas kam bris.
Right. We're worried that either he was a nolad mohel, or that he had a bris that wasn't for the sake of gerus. It wasn't done properly. So Rabbi Yossi's position is, and as Rabbi Yossi and Yevamos is telling me, do it for the ger, which for sure means do it for the nolad mohel, according to the hierarchy we've created. But the Gemara in Shabbos, Rav said, don't do it for the Nolad Mohel, I follow the Tanakhama. So how am I supposed to understand this? Is Rav not aware of what's going on with Rabbi Yossi? Is Rav somehow out of the loop? So the Rashba, quoted in Tosfos, offers a resolution for the conflict. He suggests it's not really a hierarchy, where one is more likely than the other, where we're going to say, just because you require it for ger, therefore you're going to require it for nolad mohel. You have to decouple nolad mohel and ger. He says it's really two separate points. By default, we require hatafa for both a nolad mohel and a ger. That, he says, is our starting point. Our assumption is do hatafa, whether nolad mohel or ger. The Gemara came along in Shabbos, the Tanakhama came along and said, well, you have this pasuk that says or laso, and not safek, and that knocked out the nolad mohel. But it didn't knock out the ger, because the ger is not a safek. We know what his story is. He had a bris mila. There's no safek involved at all. So it's entirely possible to contend that you shouldn't read this as a hierarchy. Nolad mohel is more likely to require than ger is. But rather, they're two entirely separate cases. And indeed, the Bahag matches the Rashba's resolution. Because the Bahag ruled, the Baal Achos Gedolos, ruled that a ger needs hatafa, but a nolad mohel does not. So the whole hierarchy idea, as appealing as it seemed to us initially, falls apart. Very interesting.
So how do you explain the position of the Tanakhama and Shabbos and the position of Beis Hillel only by the Rav Shimon ben Elazar and Shabbos?
Two entirely different views. Two entirely different positions that are not to
be... You just hold the ger doesn't need hatafas.
Correct.
At all.
Correct. So here's an interesting question. Why should the ger need it? why should, and this is going to bring us closer to our quest, to answering our question of what Hatafas Dam actually is. Why does the Ger require Hatafa? Clearly it's not Arla Kavusha. It's not that there's an Arla there that's hidden. He had a Bris Mila. So the Bahag wrote, Bahalachas Gedolos, he's quoted in the Rush, says, because he once had an Arla. If you are born with an Arla, and you now want to be a Jew, you require a Bris Mila, a halachic Bris Mila. That's the idea of the Bahag. Now, this opposes, as opposed to the Mnolan Mohul, who never had an Arla, says the Bahalachas Gedolos. Now, that runs counter to what we've said about the Nolad Mohel having an Arla Kavusha, obviously. But that's the Bahag's position that he stakes out. It's also against a Medrash and Bereishis Rabba that I brought you as source Ches. You can take a look at that as well. That would also be in opposition. But Rabbeinu Shimshon asks two questions against the Bahag. You're telling me that the Ger needs Hatafas Dam because he once had an Arla, right? That's what you're telling me? Well, here's a question then. Let's say you had a kid who had a bris before day 8. Right? The kid had a bris on day 7 because the parents didn't know. They gave him a bris early. According to you, Hatafa is like a bris. Right? That's what you're telling me. Hatafa is bris version 2. Right? So does that mean I should do it on Shabbos? For the kid who was born with an Arla, he just had a bris. He was cut, effectively. So now I should do Hatafas Dam on day 8, even if it's Shabbos. Yeah. But you're telling me that this is a replacement for Bris Mila. You're telling me this is like Bris Mila.
If there's two parts to it, or it's two different things, Torah seems to be specific on removing the Arla on the 8th day as opposed to doing a Bris. Maybe a Bris. But to remove the Arla specifically is only on Shabbos.
Right, so hang in there. Further, though, Rabbeinu Shimshon asks, what would you do with a Ger who was Nolad Mohel? Right, he wasn't Jewish. He's born with a Bris Mila. Now he wants to convert to Judaism. So then, according to you, there should be no Hatafa. Since the Bahag says Hatafa for the Ger is a product of the fact that he once had an Arla, then if you have a Ger who is Nolad Mohel, then you don't do Hatafa. No one ever entertained such an idea. So Rabbeinu Shimshon, also quoted in the Rush like the Bahag is, argues that it's not Bris Mila. Instead, he says, it's a replacement for Bris Mila. It's a rabbinic requirement that is specific to a Ger. That's why it's not done on Shabbos, even in the case where a Bris was done early before day 8. And therefore, it's required lo plug across the board for Gerim. Even if they're Nolad Mohel, it doesn't make a difference. It has nothing to do with Arla Kavusha. It's simply a rabbinic requirement of do a Hatavas Dam when someone comes to convert. Do a Hatavas Dam, it's the thing to do. Midi Rabbanan. There is support for this idea from a comment of the Shach. Remember the case that we saw, Shabbos Kuflamid Zayin, about the kid who had an early Bris Mila? Right? Do you do a Hatafa for him on Shabbos? In other words, the kid was supposed to be on Shabbos. You did his bris on Friday by accident. So what happens the next day, besides the caterer showing up with a meal, right? What's actually going to happen the next day? So take a look at the Shach source test. I'm running a couple of minutes over with this. Are we all right? A couple of minutes? Okay. Yei Shlomer, he says, you could say, Dinehi delo yatsa, Mikol makom lo nitna Shabbos lidachos ela mitzvas mila mamash v'lo ala tavas dambris. The Shach says you could say that granted that he didn't fulfill bris mila with the earlier cut, right? Still, you can't override Shabbos with this because it's not really bris mila. Shabbos is overridden by real bris mila. This isn't real bris mila. This is a rabbinic institution. The Minchas Chinuch discusses this as well. And Minchas Chinuch points out, I can prove to you that Hatafas Dam isn't really bris, which is what you wanted to say in the first place. Right? He says, I can prove to you it isn't bris. You know how I know it's not bris? Let's say you have a kid who's an RL. Okay? A normal kid is an Arla. And someone did a Hatafas Dam without cutting off the Arla. right? No one in their right mind is going to say you did bris milah. No one in the right mind is going to suggest that if his day 8 shows up on Shabbos, you're not going to do a bris on Shabbos. Hatafa isn't bris milah. Hatafa is a makeup. It is a derabanan institution, and that's all. And that's all it is. That's the way that we look at it. That doesn't mean that we consider the original milah to be good, mind you. In other words, it isn't as though we're saying, "Oh, the original milah was fine, and we're just doing this." It's you're stuck. You can't redo the milah. Because you can't do milah twice. So therefore, we have this rabbinic institution for you to do something right. Because that's all you have. Saying that it's derabanan is very important. I started out by asking, is it deraisa or is it derabanan? Practical differences between whether it's deraisa or derabanan, number one, is whether it overrides Shabbos. The Minchas Chinuch takes it as a given that if it's deraisa, it overrides Shabbos, right? That's number one. Number two, let's say you did it at night. This is the Maharshal or Shlomo Luria writing his Yamshel Shlomo. He says, what if you did Hatafa at night? Bris Milah can't be done at night. It's no good if you do Bris Milah at night. What if you did your Hatafa's Dam at night? If it's a Deoraisa, like Bris Milah, then it's no good. But if it's a Derabanan, then maybe it's alright to do the Hatafa's Dam at night. Maybe it doesn't have to be done by day. The Rashba seems to say it's de'oraisa, because the Rashba was the one we quoted in Tosfos, who said orla so, right? It's what's used to exclude the hatafas dam for the nolad mahol. Well, if you're bringing psukim, it's obviously a de'oraisa. Further, the Gemara in Yevamos.
Sorry.
Yes.
Where does the concept of hatafas dam come from?
Just the fact that you're going to talk about, you're going to adjudicate the question of a nolad mahol. What do I do with a nolad mahol? Do I do atafa or not do atafa on Shabbos? I'm going to adjudicate that question based on a pasuk of or laso. Well, if it's a rabbinic institution, then how does the pasuk have anything to do with anything? If the whole thing is derabanan. The fact that you
when
quote
the concept of hatafas dam is coming in the first place.
Well, that's the thing. It sounds like the Rashba, by telling me that Orlasa is meant to rule out hatafas dam, it sounds like you're telling me that hatafa was built into the mitzvah of bris milah. It's a deoraisa part of bris milah. It has to be done at night the whole bit. And it's only not going to override Shabbos because of a quirk in a pasuk. That's what he's making it sound like. Not only that, the Gemara in Yevamos asks the question, let's say you have a kid who's born with a bris. Can he eat from the Korban Pesach? And Rabbi Akiva says, no. Not until he has Hatafas Dam. Well, that sure makes Hatafas Dam sound like a Deoraisa. How could a rabbinic requirement of Hatafas Dam block a kid from eating the Korban Pesach? Not a kid, an adult too. I mean, a Nolad Mahol at any stage. Right? How in the world could you block somebody from eating Korban Pesach for a Derabanan? Yes. And that would be the answer. But that's the Minchas Chinuch brings this, yeah.
It's interesting that I was always under the impression that the Korban Pesach was not permitted to be eaten by an oral.
Mm-hmm.
If a person was born mahol, or he had a bris, but didn't have a Tavas Dam bris, you could say it said that he's not an oral, he may not have a bris, but he's not an oral.
So it's you against Rabbi Akiva.
I
have fun. I don't know, Bastroi, right? You're right. You're right. That would be a common sense approach. It just may not be correct. The Rabbi Akiva seems to argue otherwise.
It's the bris that defines whether the person is oral
yeah,
or not.
Correct.
And that bris
and includes
Hatafa.
As Hatafa as Dam, correct. On the other hand, the Rambam very clearly believes it's rabbinic.
I was going to say, then if it is a Rambam, then what would be a bris deraisa simply being an oral?
Yeah.
Simply being a mahol. In other words, without Hatafa as Dam bris.
Correct. Correct. The Minchas Chinuch believes that the Rambam is only believes it's derabanan because the Rambam took the view that you don't do the hatafa on Shabbos, right? So he says if it were a deraisa part of bris milah, then it would be done on Shabbos. But the truth is, the Minchas Chinuch intends not all hatafos are created equal. Meaning, it could be that Rabbi Akiva believes that for the nolad mahul, he follows the view that it's vaday nich b'sha arlaso, that for sure there was an arla, it's an arla kavusha. for sure it's an Orla Kavusha, and therefore requires Atafa Mida Oraisa. But for one who had a bris at the wrong time, or for a ger, Hatafa might only be a Derabanan. That won't work for the Rambam, mind you, because the Rambam said by the Nolad Mahul as well, that you don't do it on Shabbos. As long as you're keeping your De'oraisa equals override Shabbos equation, which the Menchas Chinuch does, then there's no way to match that with the Rambam. I'm not clear why there isn't a third view, but I haven't seen it articulated. I don't understand why you couldn't say that it's a De'oraisa, but it doesn't override Shabbos because of our lasso. I don't know why that's not an option. I have to do more research. Frankly, I broke my head getting this far. I'm not clear on why that's not an option. Let's sum up what we've got. We saw the debate between the Tanna Kamma and Rav Shimon ben Elazar trying to understand machlokes beis Hillel and beis Shammai. We saw that the Tanna Kamma presented it as a machlokes on nolad mahul and ignored the ger case. Rav Shimon ben Elazar said the machlokes is in the ger case, but nolad mahul all agree that it's that you have to do a hatafa. Rav followed the Tanna Kamma, and therefore we would not do a hatafa for a nolad mahul or for a ger. Rav Ada bar Ava supports Rav because he says, "Boy, did I mess up when I didn't follow him." We also saw the Gemara regarding the kid who had an early bris, and we saw the Gemara in Yevamos regarding somebody who comes into convert and he says, "I already had my mila," and the machlok is about what you do with him. We saw that the Rambam says you do hatafa for a nolad mahul out of doubt, but you won't do it on Shabbos. He goes against Rav, and we suggested that it's because Rav is commenting on a machlokes tanoim. It's not Rav's own debate against Shmuel. We also noted the support of the Rif for following the view of Rabba versus Rav Yosef. We discussed why you would take Rabba and Rav Yosef versus Rav, even though he is the Rebbe of their Rebbe, and we said, well, maybe because the debate went on in his lifetime, he's like a Yachid, or maybe because there was something new that they had, that Brisa with Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar that we saw in Kuf Lamed Hei. We then noted that if you believe that it's a hierarchy, that you're more likely to require it for Nolad Mahol than for Ger, then based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Rav's position of following the Tanna Kamma, the Ger does not require it. But on the other hand, based on the Gemara in Yevamos, with the Ger who comes to you and says, "I already had my Mila," indicating the Ger does require Atavas Dam, that would indicate that the Nolad for sure should require Atavas Dam, based on the hierarchy structure. Right? If you have a hierarchy structure, and Ger is less likely than Nolad Mahol, then if Ger needs it, for sure Nolad Mahol needs it. And then we said, yeah, but maybe it's not really a hierarchy following that Rashba from the Tosfos, that maybe you have to decouple them, and they're two entirely different things, Ger and Nolad Mahol, with different reasons to require it. Reason to require it for Ger is because he once had an Arla. The reason to require it for Nolad Mahol is because Nichbash Arla so. And reason not to require it for him is the Pasuk Arla so, that's why you wouldn't do it on Shabbos. We asked why the Ger needs it if he doesn't have an Orla Kavusha. We had the Bahag's view because he once had an Orla. We asked questions against that or that from Rabbeinu Shimshon. What about the kid who had an early bris? He should then require a hatafa on day 8. If you believe that hatafa is really like bris mila for people who once had an arla, then you should do it for the kid who had an early bris. You should also not do it for a ger who was nolad mahul. And Rabbeinu Shimshon concluded differently. He said it's not mila, it's a replacement for mila, it's a derabanan replacement for mila. That's what it is. And we noted practical ramifications, whether it would override Shabbos, and whether it will be all right if it happens at night. And we have different sources to support the view either way. I'm sorry this wasn't as clear as I usually like to have things turn out, but it's a reflection of my own muddiness on it. So, I don't know, maybe we'll come back to it at some point, but frankly, when I see the words of Tavaz Dam at this point, I want to flee in the other direction. So, we'll see.